Good morning, Hope Church. How you doing? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good to see you today. God bless you. It's an honor to have you worship the Lord with us today. If you're a guest, I am Pastor Greg, and right here at Hope Church, we give our guests anonymity, which basically means hang out, hide out, make yourself at home. We'll not ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself. We just want this to be a great experience. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Come on, put your hands together. In looking over this series, we've been talking about the new things that God has for you. Revelation 21 says God makes all things new. He can, in your life, anywhere in your life, any time in your life, bring a level of newness. We saw in Romans 6:4 that newness was just not an event of salvation, which is the key entrance into that, but it's also a newness of life that you can experience throughout your life. Which tells me that in the journey of life, and I think all of us have noticed this if you've been saved long enough, that the newness of God on the inside of you, God wants to work it out on the outside of you. Paul says, work out your own salvation, which doesn't mean that you have to do stuff to add to your salvation, but he wants you to bring what God started on the inside of you and bring it out into your life and into your world. And there's new things that God has for each and every one of us. It could be a new season. It could be a freshness in an area of your walk with him, a relationship with somebody, your finances. It could be a new day, a new chapter. And we understand those terminologies. I'm looking for a new opportunity, a new day, a new year, a new chapter. And the key component to that is God. When we try to do all these things without God, we end up having New Year resolutions with not much life. New Year resolutions with not much sticking power to them. The great ideas, and we try our best, but in the given time, we kind of keep going back to the way things always have been. And you start, if we're not careful, we'll start thinking this is the way it has to be. This is the way it will always be. This is the way, I guess, God wants it to be. And God doesn't want that to hold you back from your best that he has for you. And so we're talking about this newness and the possibility of it and bringing God into that equation. We see that throughout Scripture. If it's with Elijah and Elisha, Elijah's touching Elisha with the presence of God, or Elisha's encounter with God not only changed his destination, it brought an awareness, a newness of something way beyond anything he had experienced before. Think about that. Here's Elisha in 1 Kings 19:19, who was just plowing his field until Elijah showed up, touched him with, the King James says, the mantle, which was he had a God encounter. Praise God for God encounters. Doesn't mean that every time you wake up, you're going to hear angels or a voice or a hand right on the wall, but it does mean that in the rhythm of your walk with God, you can have those special moments where you experience God in such a real, tangible way that your life is forever changed.
Yes.
And his experience with God was of such nature that changed everything about his life. It caused him to be aware of what could be, aware of what wasn't at the moment. And when we become aware of what isn't in our life but could be in our life, it creates an anticipation, a hope of something better tomorrow. It creates a desire. Elisha pursued Elijah. It creates, when you start experiencing God in that way, he begins to make you aware of who you really are and not just who people have told you were.
Right.
And you begin to find that your value is greater than your past experiences.
Yes.
And your past successes and mistakes.
Yes.
And where God's called you to go and what God's called you to do in life is so much bigger than what you thought. God will birth in you a desire. God, I'm going to follow you. I want to know you, but I also want to serve you with all of my life, and I want to do what you've called me to do. And that desire, that hope, that anticipation connects you not only to faith, but it will cause you to do some most unusual things.
Yes, indeed.
For Elisha, it caused him to go back and kill the oxen that were his, that he was using, basically eliminating his chance to ever go back. Talk about burning bridges. And to pursue a new career, pursue someone, not to get an accolade, not to get some, but to serve him with the anticipation that one day I will be in that place of anointing. Because in the Old Testament, The anointing wasn't on everybody, like in the New Testament. If you're a child of God, you can be anointed. In the Old Testament, it was only king, priest, and prophet, the ones who God called. And so the chances weren't great that if I just follow him, I'm going to get it. The chances was I'm going to follow him and serve him. I'm telling you what, the desire of God will cause you to do some crazy things. When David showed up on the battlefield, he could have minded his own business, but all of a sudden, something on the inside, that anointing of God that he had already received from the prophet Samuel, began to stir on the inside of him and awaken him to something that this was not right. What Goliath was doing and how the Philistines were acting and how Israel was running was not right. It caused him to go on a battlefield. To run, actually, the Bible says, to a giant. Can you imagine your teenage son who never been in war and goes without a weapon? All he's got is a few rocks and a sling and a staff. And he begins to charge the most advanced, successful MMA fighter. Come on, somebody. I got to bring it to what we can understand. In the octagon. And you're like, you're going where? Oh, I can take him, Dad. I know I can take him. You're only 5'2", 105 pounds. And never wrestled in your life. I can get him. He's mine. He's mine. Don't you worry about it. He's all mine. I'm telling you what, the awareness of what God has for you, the presence of God making you aware of what is not in existence, but what can be, and you begin to obey God and pursue it, will cause you to do some interesting things. But also cause you to achieve some amazing, amazing advancements in life. This weekend is a celebration of Martin Luther King. See, we just don't have to take it in Bible times. We can bring it into our historical time. Right. His encounter with God made him aware of something that was but shouldn't be, and the awareness of the absence of what should be, freedom, caused him to do some interesting things. When everybody else would rather be quiet and just say, it is what it is, it's always been that way, let's just get through it, he was willing to stand up, come on somebody, rise up, come on, speak out. And pursue something that was a God idea, but it was sure not seemed to a lot of people like a good idea, but he's willing to sacrifice everything for what he believed in. I'm telling you, in your journey, it might not be so grand and so amazing, something along those lines. But in your rhythm of life, God will bring across your path opportunities for you to fulfill, to achieve, to pursue. And we can devalue things when we try to compete and compare with history. Wow, what I'm doing, yeah, I mean, it's not as amazing as what Martin Luther King Jr. did. What I'm doing is not as amazing what David did on the battlefield. But Jesus said, listen, if you give a drink of water to a child, that's a big deal. Yeah. I mean, let's start there, and anywhere in between, God has things for us to do. He has his anointing, his presence in your life can awaken you to stuff that you feel like I have to stand up and make a noise about this. I have to speak. I have to work. I have to pursue. I just can't make this an emotional moment. I have to put some skin in the game. And as we pursue God, as we pursue the things of God, as we pursue life and destiny, if you've been in this world long enough, you've come to the realization, hopefully, that things just don't necessarily fall out of the sky and things don't just happen overnight. A good thing, a God thing, still has an incubation system going to it. Come on, somebody. You can look at anything that's been amazing, anything that's been important, anything that's been powerful, and you begin to see that when God begins to bring it into the world, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, even the birth of Jesus, he announced the birth of Jesus all the way back hundreds, even thousands of years, what he was going to do before. Isaiah 55:11, he sends his word forth. Yes. Amos 3, God, before he does it, says, I'm going to declare it before I do it. Right. So if you want to know what God's doing, you got to find out what God has been saying. And when you find out what God's been saying to you, you know the direction of what he wants to do. And he works through people. Have you noticed God just doesn't ask you to be a spectator. He says, I want you to be a contributor. I want you to be in this, because if I just did it on my own, you can sit and watch in the stands with your ticket and say, "Woo, go Jesus, go Jesus. Yeah, yeah, go Jesus." And Jesus says, no, I'm in you now. I want you to get on the battlefield. I want you to get in the game. It's easy to wait till the game's over and be a Monday expert about what the coach or the quarterback should have done. You know what? I don't know what they're thinking. He shouldn't be paid that much. I can see. Well, you aren't in the game. You had 24 hours to evaluate the decision that he only had 24 seconds to do. He's working on instincts, and you've already listened to talk radio for 4 hours, and all you're doing is accumulation of other experts' ideas of what they had. Come on. See, in the scope of things, God doesn't want you to be a pretender. He wants you to be a contender in the game of life. So you're out there fighting, doing, shaking, making things happen for his kingdom and for his glory. But the reality is we can start off strong, like many of us this January. Oh, this is going to be a new year, you know. This year. I know the last 25, I said it, but this year I mean business. And somewhere in the journey, you're going to find opposition. You're going to find some pressures. You're going to find some things to deal with. And that's not the way I want it, but it is the way it is. I would prefer, Lord, you give me desire. I prayed the prayer. I'm going to go take a nap. And when I wake up, take care of everything and everyone, right? You work it out, God, and I'll be there just to enjoy it. See, you agree with me. Maybe we can. No, it don't work that way. God's not looking for consensus. He's not looking for democracy. He's not looking for you to vote. There is a system to bring God's kingdom into this kingdom, this world, God's world into our world, so that all of a sudden our world on the inside and around us and those we come in contact with can be forever changed. Yes. David said it this way when they were challenging him. He said, is there not a cause? What's your cause? If you don't have one, you can't have one. God has one for you. And it's not a matter of you sitting down with a pen and piece of paper and writing things down and trying to look for a creative cause. You will have times in your life, and maybe you have one, maybe you have a few right now, maybe you have none. Either or, the question is not trying to create one or find one. The question is to be open when you experience God. God can begin to birth in you and make you aware that maybe those things that have annoyed you that you think is an injustice, or maybe those things that have annoyed you that you thought this should be better, maybe things, if it can be freedom, if it can be the removal of a giant, whatever it might be, in the rhythm of life, you'll find opportunities that God will begin to stir on the inside of you. And if you're not careful, you'll just think, oh, I'm just annoyed, I can't come back to this anymore, and you'll walk away instead of God has interjected you into the place so that you can make a difference in that world. Yes, yes. So I guess the question that we're going to ask today is, in that journey, in your walk, in your life, as you pursue God, as you're doing life, and you come into against the oppositions of, you know you're on the right path, you know you're doing something good, but it's not coming together the way you wanted to. The question would be, is it worth the fight? Yeah. Would you bow your head? Father, in the name of Jesus, as we open your word today, I just pray that you open our hearts, speak into our lives, encourage us, and I pray for impartation of not only truth, but the anointing, your enabling power, by your Holy Spirit, into our lives. For some, Lord, awaken them, I pray, to their God cause. For others, reinforce that the journey they're on is on the right journey. For some, if we're on the wrong path, awaken us to the idea that maybe we've been struggling, going down the wrong road, and we need to get off and get on the right path. Whatever it might be, I ask that you touch every person on the sound of my voice In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you have your Bible, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, it says, you need to persevere. That means you need to endure. That means you need to stick it out. Hello. That means you have to keep fighting. Yep. You have to keep moving forward. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Yes. Many times we blame the devil for our problems, but sometimes it's not the devil at all. We give up. Look to your neighbor and say, don't give up.
Don't give up.
Come on, look to your neighbor, other neighbor and say, I'm talking to you too. Do not give up. It's like a boxing match. You can throw in the towel. Are you going to say, no, I got one more round? Amen. You say, but it's been a tough round. Yeah, but you're still alive and the devil thought he had you, but something stirs on the inside of you. Yeah. Come on, you say, I got one more round. Yeah. I got one more round.
Yes.
There's going to be times in your life that you're going to be on the top of the mountain celebrating. Ooh, this is awesome. And there's going to be times in your life that you're in a season where you just got your teeth knocked out and you are dragging and messed up and bleeding and cut. And everybody who was there that said before, I'm with you, I'm sticking with you, are the ones that left you. And things don't look good. You say, how do I know that? That's what happened to Jesus. The ones who said, I'll die before I let you die, are the one, the first ones that left. I don't know them. What do you mean you don't know them? What do you mean you don't know? And if you studied out, I had one person say, well, did Peter really cuss? Because in the King James it said that Peter cussed or cursed and said, I don't know him. Yeah. Peter wasn't dropping no F-bombs. I'm telling you, here's what was happening. Peter wasn't saying, I don't know, beep, 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 beep. No, that wasn't what's going on. Peter actually cornered himself so badly because Peter basically said, I do not know the man, and if I know him, let me be cursed to hell. How do you dig yourself out of that hole? I mean, we're talking about the one who just said earlier, Jesus, I won't let you die. I'll die before me and you, Jesus. These other jokers, they don't get it. I'm with you. I'm the rock. Remember, I'm with you. Oh, Peter. Have you ever thought that Jesus looks at you sometimes when you're bragging to God about how good you are? Oh, I love you. You don't see it all, but I love you. You're good, you just don't see it all. You're not that good as you think right now, but on the inside, I'm going to be bringing this thing out of you. Because we happen, just like Peter, we happen to be people that have this thing called emotions. And emotions are a good thing. Don't get me wrong. We can misunderstand emotions and bring them out of context. Some groups try to take total emotions out of your life altogether. And you're like, well, why did God give me emotions? I mean, there's something about, it's good to be happy, right? It's good to have emotions. Amen? But it's bad to follow your emotions. It's good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with emotions if you understand their place. It's like dessert. It's great to have dessert.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Those of you who are fasting are mad at me right now. I know. That's okay. But it's wrong to do nothing but eat dessert, right? That's something that's a little good. A lot of can really mess you up. And so we have a tendency of being moved by emotion. And then we're gung-ho. Come on, somebody. We've all done that. I'm going to fast for 3 days. And then it gets tough. And they bring you donuts at work. They never bring you donuts at work. And you're like, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to make it. It's been 15 minutes. I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to make it. We start with emotion. And when reality sets in, we cave. Come on, right? Can I be real with you? And I not to bring this up, but I kind of mentioned this when this was going on. And I said, if you remember a few months ago, I said, do me a favor, don't get caught in the emotion of media.
Right.
Is what I said happened? Because have you noticed the media has removed itself? The emotions of other people have changed. And now you don't hear anybody talking. What happened to all the people that were saying, we need to fix the system or something needs to be done? Where are they? They've moved on because the emotion quit. I'm not here to get on sides. I warned you that if you really want to see things done correctly, you can't get caught up, sucked into a whirlwind of emotion, because when people get in that box, you have to realize once the emotion settles, and it always does, they'll never accomplish anything. So you have to ask yourself, do I want to be emotional or do I want to accomplish something? Do I want to, and emotions are good, but if all you got is emotions, you're not going to get anywhere. Oh, I'm going to get in the NBA. Well, that's great when you're watching the finals and you're seeing them playing. They got the celebrities and they're interviewing. Oh, that's going to be me next year. But you haven't practiced in 3 years. You're not going nowhere. See, just because you have a potential doesn't mean you're going to reach your destination. You got to be willing to walk this thing out. Day in, day out, walk this thing out. And in that, you're going to find in the journey of life that it doesn't happen overnight. And like we just read, you have to be willing, once you've obeyed God and you got on the right path, don't change your direction. You know, personally, and I jokingly talk about this from time to time, I am horrible with directions. I mean, even at this day, I'm not good at directions. Growing up, my dad was fantastic. I don't know, because I don't know. He just was good at direction. He had a sense of where stuff was. He could tell me where West was. We'd drive down the road. Son, point to Kansas City. I'm not going to Kansas City. I'm not pointing. I don't care. Huh? And if any other reason, it was God's mercy on my life to give somebody an idea called a navigational system for your car. Come on, somebody. Because, I mean, north, south, east, and west to me are, based the way I read it in the book, north is up, south is, come on, east and west. So when someone tells me and gives me directions, come to this road and go east, I go, whoa, 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 whoa. You want me to go right? No, east is left. Not my book, it's not. I open that book, east is to my right. I'm going, come on, you know what I'm talking about, some of you. Others, you just don't get it, but that's okay. Love us and pray for us. And so some of us got the instincts. We just know which way to go. Some of us, we're like, does this look familiar? Have you ever done that? You're still in the garage. Oh. Just tell me right or left and tell me, you know what I mean, go take two stops and take a right on the Chick-fil-A. Thank you very much. And that helps me out. That helps me out. When I have little things that I can notice, say, oh, there's the Chick-fil-A. Take a right. Don't tell me. Yeah, I could. And so we have this thing. And I remember as a teenager, I got lost in a neighborhood one time, dropping off a friend at their house. And I'd never been. And this neighborhood was not designed by anybody you would consider a Christian or smart. Everything, it was like a labyrinth. It was like you got in this thing and all the streets looked the same. Have you ever been one of those neighborhoods? And for me, and again, I was about 16, 17, I had a rule of thumb that if I get lost, I always turn left. Why? I don't know, but it kind of works. See, I mean, I'm here today. There's no logic to this stuff. If you think that everything's done logically, look at your life. Come on, somebody. Now, it's easy to judge other people. You know what I mean? Come on. And it was late at night on a Friday night, and I was dropping off a friend, and I'm getting lost. And so when I get lost, I start taking left. I don't even think logically anymore. I just take a left at a stop, and I start driving faster. I know none of you do this. So here I am late at night, 16, 17 years old, in a neighborhood, lost, and I'm going faster. Now I'm going through these neighborhoods, and I come to a stop. Which way should I go? Go left. And I'm getting worse and worse, deeper and deeper. I just need the right path. And sometimes in life, we just try harder and we go faster. And we stop working by purpose and we just start working by emotion. We just start moving, hoping that if we try harder and faster, we'll finally get to where we want to go. And it don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We have to be willing to pursue on the right path and stick with it. Now, Matthew 13, if you have your Bibles, you're going to turn there, or talks about, and Jesus is telling an amazing story. It's a parable. And you got to love the parables of Jesus, because there's so much wealth and deep information in each one. And concept, a lot of times we talk about the sower and the word, and different places that it goes and what it's to do or what they deal with. And I want you to notice something in the context of this big picture scheme, because if we can understand the big picture, we can understand the details sometimes, is that the purpose of the sower sowing the word or the seed was that he wanted the seed to produce fruit.
Right.
I'm starting with an end in mind. I'm gonna begin with the concept of the end. God doesn't start with the guess at the beginning. God begins with the end in mind. So when he starts with you, for as God is working in you, giving you the desire and the ability to fulfill his will, when he started with you, he already has in mind where he's taking you. So he knows the end from the beginning. He sees it equally clear as the way you see the past. He sees the future clearly. He's already there. And when he starts you on a journey, he's not guessing. He's not just giving instruction. He knows what he's looking for. And so when he begins to show you from his word, we talked about this, as God awakens you to your possibility, you might not be totally into the idea of, I don't think this will work, Jesus. You want me to be a businessman? I barely graduated high school. The teachers hated me. I know, but I'm going to take you with that, and I'm going to bring you to a place of you having so many different businesses. You know, you want me to travel and sing? God, I don't know if that's going to, no, I'm going to take you and bring you to, you want me to do what? Do this, achieve that? I don't think so. I don't see that how that happened. And when you look at scripture and by example, all the ones that God began to call were not people that said, yeah, I knew you were going to call me. Goliath mocked David.
Right.
His own brothers mocked him. No one thought that David was the right guy for the right job.
Right.
But God,
yeah,
who saw the end from the beginning,
yeah,
said, I'll use him,
yeah,
because his heart is open to me and I can show my goodness and my glory through him, so that at the end when he defeats Goliath, I don't think David wrote a book, Five Ways to Kill a Giant. Because David realized, as well as everybody else, that at the end of that battle, it was about God and not about David.
Right.
See, if you're looking for what you can accomplish so you can look good in front of people, you're really on the wrong path, because you got to understand that we should be living for God. That means not that you should be living less, but you should be living for Jesus so that your life is greater. So at the end of the day, those who are watching know that it was all God.
Right.
David still had to run to the giant. David still had to find some stones. David still had to load the sling. David still had to release the sling. David still had to say something. David still had to pick up the sword. David still had to cut the giant's head off. David had things to do, but it was all within the alignment of the instruction of the Father, so that at the end of the journey, at the end of the battle, everybody knew that it was God and not David. So I can only imagine what people thought. In my imagination, I bet some people said, don't mess with David. Not because he was strong, not because he was great. But I believe they said, don't mess with David. He's got God on his side. Ooh. How would you like people to say, wow, be careful of this one. They have God on their side. It's amazing. Be careful. They have God on their side. I want people to look at your life, because we've talked earlier that God wants to take what he's promised to you and make it completely obvious to the observers around you that don't even know God or like God or want to see you blessed. Because David said that in the midst of my enemies, while they have to look on, you are preparing a table for me. And God, I want your life to be of such nature that when people that are observing you, waiting for you to fail, and you keep climbing, you have your weak days, you have your strong days, you have your battles, you have your victory. You have when you're ready to charge, and some days when you're ready to quit. But at the end of the day, let them keep watching, because the story, if you stick it out, will be that you are the winner and it was God and not you. Is it worth the fight?
Yes.
Whatever you begin to pursue, you will deal with opposition. You will deal with opposition. You will deal with opposition.
Yes.
And the question you have to get with on the inside of you is not, is it worth the fight if it's easy? Well, you know, it was a good idea. You know, when I was with everybody and everybody was raising their hands, I thought, oh, this is a great idea. Ooh, I want to be part of this. This is exciting. This is cool. I want to do that too. The question is, when you're by yourself and they're not around,
come on now. Come on.
You're going to have to ask yourself, is this worth the fight? you know, I just thought if I just kind of signed up and did a little bit, I can get a lot. You too can make full-time money on part-time effort. Don't even lift your hand, but how many of us have been suckered into that at one time in our life? You mean I don't have to do anything and I can sit around and watch TV and just tell two people and I could be a millionaire? As they laugh. Why? Because for you to achieve greatness, you're going to have to do something. It's not going to be handed to you on a silver platter. It doesn't just walk in the door and say, here I am. You can have it. This is free, and this is me, and I'm going to take it and everything. And you wait for only the things that are free or cheap in life, and you'll never achieve greatness, because greatness comes out of great challenges of you looking and saying, there's something that is so big that nobody is willing to take it on. But God, you've awakened me to this, that I'm a part of not the problem, but I'm going to be a part of the solution. And now I'm going to get on this path and pursue it, just not today, but tomorrow and the next day. And until God changes me, you can come back 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years, and you will still find me pursuing the mountain. We all know the story of Joshua and Caleb. They were one of the two spies that came back and said, that's the land we want. That's the land God promised. That's the land. That's the blessing. That is the victory. That is the goal. That's the win. Big W for all of us. And the other one said, oh, it's good. It's nice. I'll give you that. It's nice. But I don't know if it's worth it. Because you know what? There's giants over there. And we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. How would they know? Did they actually interview, hey, you? Up there, how do I look to you? A grasshopper, okay, thank you for the insight. I mean, how do they know? Isn't that amazing how we perceive what people we think are perceiving about us? And we'll allow what we think people are thinking about us to define, shape, and move and direct us and give us a thing. Because we're wanting people just to pat us on the back and say, go, but if no one does it, and then, oh, they must not like me anymore. And all of a sudden, we allow what we think people are thinking about us to determine where we're going. And the reality, the truth is, are you listening? They're not even thinking about you. Because they're thinking, what are you thinking about them? Human tendencies. Everybody's about you. I wonder what they're thinking about me. And you got to get a place of, who cares? They're not even thinking about me. So why should I even think about what they're thinking about me? Because it's not even in the mix. Oh, it's good. You know what I mean? It's possible. It could be. I don't see it happening. And they got the people to turn on the plan of God. And God said, okay, because you weren't willing to obey me and pursue, I'm going to let you die off. Yes. And 40 years goes by. Can you imagine? I get frustrated when 4 years go by. Yeah. 4 months. 4 weeks. 4 days. 4 hours, come on, Jesus, where are you? I prayed in Jesus' name, what's going on here? And the interesting story is the Bible says that they were at the fire, that the leaders of the land were around the fire, and they're planning. It's been 40 years. And Caleb comes up to him. Caleb was 40 when this all started. Caleb's now 80. And Caleb says to him, listen, I was 40 years old when God promised me that land, and they wouldn't let me go because of the people. He goes, I'm 80. But I still want to charge. Yeah. Wow. I still want to fight. I still want to go because I know I can win.
Yes.
Why? Because Caleb was so confident in his God that he wouldn't even allow the delays of life to keep him from his focus.
Yes, indeed.
Talk about someone who was on target. On target. Some of us, we change occupations every 3 months. I can't figure out why I'm not successful in any of them. You only end up for 3 months. You haven't got past the honeymoon phase of anything. It's all exciting. You're looking for the next emotional buzz as a confirmation from God, and you got to get past the emotional buzz to find God.
Come on.
We're out of time. Next week I'll talk a little more about some of the challenges, according to Matthew 13, some of the challenges, as the Lord directs, some of the challenges that you and I will have to face and how to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the race, the goal is for you not to get in the game, but for you to finish the game.
Yeah.
Not for you to run the race, but to finish the race. Not to you, for you, I used to go to church in January, but you be serving God at the end. Not for you just say, well, I tried to start a business, but you find that rhythm of getting, if God called you to be a businessman, if God called you to be an educator, if God called you to be a stay-at-home mom, if God called you to help the poor, if God, whatever God called you to do, do you begin to pursue it even when the pressure's on, even when it seems like an uphill battle? Have you ever been in an uphill battle before? Some of us think that uphill battle means that God's not on our side. No, no, no. God can still be on your side. How do we deal with that stuff? We'll talk more next week. Would you bow your head? Father, I just pray for every person that's out of my voice. Lord, I just ask you to encourage them, to strengthen them, and as we act upon your word, that you are empowering us not to quit, but to stand strong so that we can become who you've called us to become, have what you've called us to have, achieve what you've called us to achieve, but also to reach those you've called us to reach. We thank you for every person in our past, Father God. Those who have been close to us, those we know, and even those we don't know, that have stood strong through the test of time. And for that today, we enjoy the benefit of their journey. No matter who it is, those who are famous, those who never, history will never write down. Might be a parent, might be a grandparent, it might be a friend, it might be a mentor. We can talk about the Davids and Elijahs and the Martin Luther King and all the people that we can recognize. But even the people, Lord, open our eyes to see those who have stood strong and we have reaped the benefit of. Bless them, Lord, if they're alive today. And help us be a blessing to you as we do it and stand strong for others.